You're listening to a podcast from Toronto Celebration Church in Toronto, Ontario. It's our hope through the Word of God that you're built up in faith and drawn closer to our Savior and Healer, Jesus Christ. As you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray the Holy Spirit will use this message powerfully in your life.
We're right now, let's just, I want to pray right now for what's happening. You know, we have hope. First of all, let's just, it doesn't matter how dark it gets in the world and how hopeless the news seems, we always have hope in Christ. That's where we direct our attention to, amen? But we've been directed by Paul to pray for our leaders, and certainly right now, that they have wisdom and make choices, that we can live peaceable lives, honoring God, and that the advancement of the gospel can go forward. And so we need that now more than ever, you could say, with all the wars happening. So let's just lift up our hands together if you could, and I'll pray, but you just join me in doing so. Father, I thank you right now for the opportunity of coming to your throne of grace, and we, your people here, Celebration Church, we take your invitation and we ask you, Father, for wisdom for our leaders, global leaders, international leaders, leaders here in our country, Father, but we pray that you give them wisdom, Father. Help them to make decisions that allow for the peaceable advancement and preaching of the gospel, Father, that we could live peaceably, Lord, and we pray and lift up all the gospel believers and workers that we support in Israel, in the Middle East, that are being so profoundly affected by what's happening, Lord. We lift up all the, people on all over the world, Father, who are being affected by the war and the hatred and the anger, Lord. We pray that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be revealed, that peace would come into the human heart, and that lives would be transformed and changed, Father. We pray for that now. And we thank you for how this church and the ministries that are included here at 190 Railside Road are working towards that. And Lord, I thank you for great strength. I thank you for great resources and direction and open doors in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give Jesus a big shout. Amen. All right. All right. Well, you may be seated. Thank you, singers, musicians. Great, great this morning. Always great to have water baptism. It's always a great sense of joy and celebration. And that's a beautiful thing. As they're being seated, a couple of announcements. This afternoon at 3:30, we have our 1 o'clock service, 1 o'clock, and I'll be preaching a beautiful topic, actually. Let Jesus wash your feet. The scripture talks about how we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus one time, but then there's the continual washing of the water. And so we'll be looking at that this afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful message. But this afternoon at 3:30, we'll be having a celebration of life service for one of our dear members who's gone to be with the Lord. Her name is Flory St. Clair. So we'll be doing that right here at 3:30 today. Also, starting Sunday, November 5th, we'll be starting pre-service prayer from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. That'll be different in the multipurpose room before service. That's Sunday, November 5th, ongoing pre-service prayer. Also, our Saturday Bible classes will be starting a new course, November the 11th. The existing course will be wrapping up the last weekend of October, and we'll be starting a new course, Jesus Revealed Part 1, taught by Pastor Peter on video, but our administrators, Pastor Vera and Lisa Ratty, they'll be in the lobby today if you'd like to register for that. So that's starting November the 11th. Also, our Pastoring the Neighborhood continues every Saturday and Sunday at 5 o'clock, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's a part of that, and you're welcome to join. Are we ready today for the Word of God? Amen. You know, in the scriptures, the Old Testament, it speaks of the Hebrew people and how they were given a promised land. And that promised land was referred to as a land of milk, a land of honey. In other words, it was a land of blessing. It was a good place. That's what it meant, milk and honey. Now, today in the New Testament, the New Covenant, of which we are a part of, our promised land isn't a physical geographical place. It's not Scarborough or Etobicoke or, you know, it's our promised land in the New Covenant is the new life that Jesus came to give us and that we are brought into. It's the new creation that but through the Holy Spirit we are brought into and we begin to live our lives. And Jesus described this promised land of his life and the new creation as the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, but not just any life, but that you could have an abundant life. And this is describing our new covenant promised land. Paul said that in this life and as a new creation, that we will reign in life. And that speaks of victory, victory in every area. And so this is speaking of the new covenant, New Testament promised land that we are promised. And that's the gospel message, isn't it? The gospel is that God came in human flesh to give us first forgiveness of sins, but then to bring us into a new life, to bring us into his life. Or in other words, to give us a new way of living, living through him, by him, new spiritual life. And by the direction and power of the Holy Spirit in us, we are able to live this life. It's an abundant life, a life of victory. And so when we believe on Christ, we enter into that promised land of His life. Jesus described eternal life as knowing Him. This describes our new covenant promised land. Promised land, the scripture calls the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. The reason I describe this is because when the Hebrew people came into their promised land, remember it was a physical land, but when they came into their promised land, they were met with seven giants. Now, these were real flesh and blood giants. And of course, now today in the new covenant, the scriptures are abundantly clear. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In other words, our giants today aren't physical giants that stand in our way, but with these giants that the Hebrew people faced, and there were seven of them, as they entered into the promised land, and we're going to look at them in a moment, but these are symbolic. They have meaning for our lives today as we go into our promised land and as we live out our lives as new creations. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll read two verses, we're going to see Moses speaking to the children of Israel on God's behalf, and we're going to see these seven giants listed. We're going to describe them afterwards, but let's read the scripture. In verse 1, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1, go ahead and put it up. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to take possession of it, and he drives away many nations from before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, they're big names, I know, we're going to break it down, so hang, stay with me, the Perizzites, doesn't sound friendly, does it? The Hivites and the Jebusites. Notice what he says, seven nations greater and mightier than you. How discouraging can that be right off the bat? I'm bringing you into the promised land and you're going to meet seven nations who are, they're greater than you and they're mightier than you, right? So it sounds kind of maybe a bit depressing, but thank God the verse isn't done that. Let's keep reading. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. So what we see here is God giving them the promised land. Are you with me? They are to take possession of it. But what we see is God's part and their part. And in this equation that we just read, God's part was to defeat these seven nations, these seven quote-unquote giants. God's part was to defeat them because they were stronger than the Hebrew people. But what the Hebrew people's part, their part was to possess or to take ownership of what God had delivered into their hand. Do you follow me? God would win the battle, but they were to take possession and they were to take ownership of it. Now again today, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't wrestle. You are not my giant. Say to them, you are not my giant. Right? So let's get that out of the way. Your giant is not sitting in your row. You're not married to your giant. Your giant is not at work. Your giant is, all right, you follow me? One person from the front row said a big amen. All right. So what are our giants? The way I define giants for us here today is this. Anything that I give an unusual amount of importance to in my life. Anything that I give, and you could put you there, obviously. I don't make up your giants, you make them up. But anyhow, anything that I give an unusual amount of importance to in my life. We are all making big something big in our lives. We all are doing it. We all do it. It's just what we do. And there's nothing good or bad about that. For example, I can make Jesus big in my life. That's a pretty good thing. That's very good, right? But this is why the New Testament and Paul is continually telling us that what we, you know, our thoughts, what we believe, what we're making big is that it's a big deal to us. Paul said in Colossians, he said, set your mind on things above. And he's referring to Jesus and the promises that Jesus has given to us. He's saying, set your mind, make a big deal of Jesus, make a big deal of his promises. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this could perhaps be the parallel verse to Deuteronomy 7. And don't worry, I'm getting to the seven giants in a minute, but I'm setting the stage. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I would propose this is almost a parallel verse to Deuteronomy 7, but he says, but it's for us in the new covenant. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, And certainly we do. Look at you, pinch yourself. There's you know, you have a physical body, right? We walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, physical flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself. Or you could say that becomes big in our imaginations, arguments, and thoughts. Does that make they exalt themselves. They become big in our estimation. So these strongholds are arguments, imaginations, and thoughts in our minds that exalt or become big in our estimation against two things. Number one, the knowledge of God. By the way, how do we come to the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is given to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you might know, have knowledge of God." We know God through Jesus Christ. Together, amen? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So first, the knowledge of God, which is through Christ Jesus. We only know God through Christ. And secondly, to the obedience of Christ. Now, what does the obedience of Christ speak of? Well, the scripture says that Jesus became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So the obedience of Christ speaks of the finished work of Christ Jesus and how he defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated the hell, he defeated the grave, he defeated sickness and disease. He defeated these on our behalf. That's what the obedience of Christ speaks of. And so it says, Paul is telling us here, we must take captive these imagine. How many have ever had an imagination that exalts itself against the finished work of Jesus Christ? Don't put up your hand. In other words, the doctor's report comes in and it's just so bad, I don't know if God could ever heal me. But you see, the obedience of Christ says that there's healing through the stripes of Jesus. And so we have to take captive these thoughts, because these are giants that stop us from possessing what we have already been given in Jesus Christ. Now, just like when God brought the Hebrew people into their promised land, he said, these giants, these seven nations, are bigger and they're stronger than you, so too were sin. Sin was too great for you and I to deal with. So Jesus had to become sin and destroy its power, and in raising from the dead, he now brings us into his life, where sin has no more hold over us. Amen? So he did the work. He defeated the enemy. But now it's our part to possess, to take ownership. Or as Deuteronomy said, show no mercy. And that means it's not your spouse. It's not your child. It's not your neighbor. These are thoughts, imaginations that become bigger in our consciousness or our estimation or our belief than Jesus and what he did through the cross. And we are to show them no mercy. Amen. Say, show no mercy. Say it with me. Show no mercy. You know, again, the enemy of our soul is always, always seeking to minimize Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. Because when we see a big Jesus, we see a big life. We see big victory. We see big provision in a big Jesus. So the enemy is always trying to minimize Jesus, make him small in our lives, so that we don't live in his promise. We don't rest in him. We're scattered. We're all over the place. That's why Paul said, the book of Deuteronomy said, show them no mercy. And Paul says it this way in Galatians 5:1. He says, and it's to me this stand fast. It's the same way of saying show no mercy, but he says stand fast. In other words, when that lie, that argument comes that exalts itself against Jesus Christ, I mean, put your feet down and stand fast, right? I mean, like a toddler who's real stubborn. Now, you ever met a stubborn toddler, yeah? That just isn't going to move. They're so unreasonable. I mean, just be unreasonable with these arguments that he's saying, stand fast in the freedom with which Christ hath set us free. In other words, freedom's been given to us in the new creation, in Christ Jesus. So take ownership of it. Possess it. Own it. Make it yours. Make it personal. Stand fast in it. Show no mercy to these, you know, all these ideas that try to minimize Jesus and maximize the problem. Show them no mercy. Own the freedom. Stand fast, Paul is saying. Amen? Protect it. You know, when somebody wanted to give Jesus a big shout there, why don't we all give Jesus a shout? Amen. You know, when you... you know, you give your child like a new backpack or some new toy, and they'd start, you know, or a ball, they take it to school. You know, you exhort them, yes, learn to share, but protect it. Don't let it be lost. If it gets lost, protect it, right? It's something of value. Protect it. And I can almost see God's talking to us. He said, I have given you new life. I've given you health and wholeness, the abundant life. Protect it. Stand fast in it. Don't allow these arguments and lies to seek to minimize what you've been given. You know, fight back. Show no mercy. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, show no mercy. Protect it. Again, these are thoughts and imaginations that make the problems bigger than Jesus. And we are not to learn, it's not just, learn to live with it. No, we are not to learn to live with it. Like a parent who says, you know, you say to your child, don't mess with cocaine. Just don't mess with it. There's nothing good about cocaine, right? Which is true. I mean, that's what you tell. It's what I don't mess with. There is nothing good with cocaine, right? Yeah? Don't mess with it. God is telling us here by his Spirit, first old covenant, new covenant, don't mess with these thoughts that are minimizing Jesus in our life. Don't mess with it. It's like, you know, cocaine. Don't mess with it. There's no good in it. Don't learn to live with it. You know, these thoughts that say, you know, you're unlovable. Well, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. The scripture says that the Father has loved us with the same love that he loved his own son. And his own son was called the beloved of the Father. It doesn't tell me that you're unlovable. You are the beloved of the Father. But I don't feel like it, Nathan. It's because thoughts have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God in your life. That's not condemnation. This is an invitation. Step into liberty and freedom and be loved by God. Amen? Show no mercy to, I'm unlovable. Show no mercy. You are lovable. Look at your neighbor and say, you're lovable. See, I'm confessing that by faith. Well, it's the Father speaking here right now, you know? Oh, I could never be forgiven. You know, some people say that. God could never forgive me. What are you talking about? The scripture says that in Christ, remember, what are we to bring our thoughts captive to? The obedience of Christ. The scripture says that Christ, that in and through Christ and what he did, that he removed all the sins that were previously committed. He forgave them all. And he wiped out the handwritten requirements that were against us. In other words, you've been forgiven. So accept it now. Own it. Take possession of it. It's yours. Amen? Amen. I'm forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. The enemy tries to minimize Jesus and his work in your life. We say, you know, sometimes we say, oh, the devil is so big in my life. He's messing with me. Well, he can mess with us if we allow him. He can even open up doors and shut doors and all that type of stuff. But so what? You're in Christ Jesus. Put your foot down. He's under your foot. You know, but the enemy tries to maximize the enemy and minimize Jesus. You got Christ in you. Of course he can do stuff. But you're so much greater. Just put your foot down, right? How many parents know how you put your foot down with your kids? You just put your foot down, right? I'm learning to do that. You put your foot down. Of course he can do stuff. But make a big deal of Jesus. Amen? Don't allow those thoughts to exalt themselves against Jesus. Show no mercy. Say, show no mercy. Amen. So, seven giants. We're not going to do them all here today. We're going to do three. Number one, we're going to do them in order. They face seven people, seven giants. Here's the first one. We're going to do them, take them in order. How about that? All right? First giant they faced were called the Hittites. And the word Hittites means to terrorize, to break down by confusion, fear, and scare tactics. How many know Hittites are kind of around us here today, in our society today? Yeah? Fear tactics. I mean, fear is everywhere. Yeah? You may have experienced a Hittite this week. A fearful thought that tries to terrorize. You know, fear brings torment. It's not pleasant, but it represents a giant in our imaginations. Because anything that would threaten to, you know, anything that threatens us with this types of fear is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ and the obedience, the victory Jesus won over the grave. Amen? But these Hittites come with terrorizing imaginations. You know, Psalms chapter 1 talks about the terror that comes by night. How many of you ever, don't show your hands. I'll just say I think we all have. You know how many know at night sometimes the thoughts can be terrorizing? Yeah? It's like because there's no other voices, there's no other you know, part of the, and obviously in Psalm 91, part of the protection of the secret place is protection from these terrorizing thoughts by night. But this is one of the giants that, the first giant they face, these are thoughts, tormenting thoughts that try to bully us into submission. And they come often in what ifs. What if, what if, what if, what if? How many know your mind is like a hamster on a hamster wheel? What if the market collapses? Then what? What if culture has its way with your children and they become... What if you get Alzheimer's? What if you get cancer? What if World War III breaks out? I mean, these are thoughts that can keep us terrorizing us on and on and on at night, all right? These are Hittites. These are imaginations exalting themselves against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we recognize, first of all, that fear, it is a giant that attacks us every single day. These are thoughts. These are imaginations. These are what we call strongholds that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ's victory. And so we must show them no mercy. In other words, we got to fight back or we will be conquered by it. You know, here's good news, first of all. Well, the bad news first, then the good news. How many? I like to do it that way. First of all, fear is learned. You know, I read this week studying for this that, you know, when we're born with two fears, apparently. Who would have known? Fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. But now I'm 43 and I have a few more fears than that. How many know I got a few more fears? So in other words, we learn new fears. All right? The good news is if we can learn fear, we can unlearn it. Amen. So keep an open mind. Yeah? But notice this. Watch this. Fear directly opposes God's best plan. You can put it up. Fear. This giant of fear directly opposes God's best plan for our lives. Directly opposes God's best plan for our lives. I'm going to give two scriptural examples of how this first from the Old Testament, then the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 54. First, it's going to talk about God's good plan for our lives. Let's read it. Verse 2. Ready? Go ahead and put it up. It says, enlarge, say enlarge. I mean, that talks of abundance. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Don't spare. Lengthen your ropes. Strengthen your pegs. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants, they will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities. I mean, this is talking about abundance. This is talking about a victorious life. This is, and in the new covenant, we are told we are to bear fruit and multiply, yeah? We're to be continually growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel until the end comes. So life is about advancing, amen? The people who know their God, they'll do great exploits. And so this is God's way. But then notice this, the very next verse comes that giant of fear, that Hittite, that tries to stop this from happening. Verse 4, let's read it, very next verse. And Isaiah says, so fear not. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. These are things we fear, by the way, being put to shame. In other words, what if I fail? Being put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and no longer remember the disgrace of your widowhood. Now, widowhood, of course, in the natural, it speaks of loss of a spouse, but in this context, it's speaking of fruitless living. God has given us His Son and His Holy Spirit that we might bear much fruit. Yeah? But fear comes to stop us. Fear comes to stop this fruitfulness from happening in our lives. No wonder 365 times we're exhorted in scriptures, do not fear. One for every day of the week. Because fear can hold us back, will hold us back if we don't show no mercy. It will hold us back from living that bigger life and from experiencing the abundant life that we've been brought into. So we must conquer fear. New Testament scriptures, 1 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this. Famous scripture, but let's read it again. It says, for this reason, I remind you, kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. And verse 9, God saved us, and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Let's work this backwards, starting in verse 9. What do we see here? He says, God has given us. Who is the us? That's your neighbor. That's you and your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about us. All right? He's talking, the scripture's talking about us, the believers. He's saying, God has given us a holy calling. If you ever wondered if your life has value, right here, God says, I've given you a holy calling in Christ Jesus. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning, significance, and dignity. Amen? You've been called by God. Each of us in different ways, yes, but we have a purpose. We, every one of us, has a purpose, and that's what the scripture is saying. But notice here, connected to this very verse, two verses earlier, fear is there to stop that call from happening in our lives, which is why Paul says to Timothy, God has not given you this spirit of fear, because he knows fear comes to stop us from owning the freedom that we've been given. Taking ownership of what Christ Jesus has given to us. So we must get on top of fear, or fear is going to get on top of us. Amen? But the good news is that we have been given a new spirit. And that's the good news. This isn't a pipe dream. This is a reality that we already have. We have a new spirit in Christ. Say, I have a new spirit. And that spirit is one of power. Not fear, power. That's our reality in Christ. We may still need to discover it, but that is our new reality. And so every single day, moment by moment, you could say, our spiritual person, how many know you have a spirit? And our spirits that have been recreated in Christ, every day, they're calling. If you imagine that they had a phone line that's calling your mind and emotions, let's just play that, just pretend that for a second. But your spirit person is calling your soul, calling your mind, your emotions, it's calling your imaginations, and your spirit is calling with courage. Your spirit man is calling with power, because you've been given a spirit of power and of love and of discipline, but it starts with power. So every single day, our spirit, every moment by moment, when confronted with giants, our spirit's calling and saying, no, in Christ, you're more than a conqueror. Keep going forward. And so our spirit's calling us. But fear is trying, that giant of fear keeps talking to, and it tries to stop us from answering the phone line, stops us from answering the call. It says, oh, things will never change. Don't listen to your spirit person. I know your spirit person says you're more than a conqueror in Christ, but it's never going to change. Don't listen. In other words, don't pick up the phone line, right? Never going to change. Healing's never going to happen. You know, your children, your things are never going to change. This, you know, you're bound to fail. And these thoughts keep coming and stop us from listening to that voice of our spirit that's saying, you are powerful. You're more than a conqueror in Christ. Amen? Seated at the right hand of the Father. You're victorious in Him. Our spirits are sacking that way. And so it's our part. That's why we're here today, so we get good at listening to that voice. We don't work well with fear. How many know that? And we're talking today about advancing and God's got call in our lives. But when we're, you know, I don't work well with fear. Do you? It's hard to focus. It's hard to keep a clear vision, to see things clearly. Our perceptions are skewed. It's hard to love others when we're fearful because we're afraid of being hurt. And our lives will be defined by how much fear we overcome. That's the truth. But the good news is that we've been given a spirit of power. That's who we are. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you got power. Doesn't it sound good? Doesn't your spirit person just leap at that knowledge? Amen? I encourage you, when those terrorizing thoughts come by night, and they do, Psalm 91 said they would, and I'm sure we've all, you know, get good at talking to yourself about Jesus. Make Him a little bit bigger, amen? A lot bigger. How about that? A lot bigger, yeah? Talk to Him. Make Him bigger. Show no mercy. Say it with me, say, show no mercy. Amen. Second giant was Girgash. So they faced the Hittite. Second giant is the Girgashite. The Girgashite, that word means to be focused on earthly things only, disregarding spiritual realities. To be focused on earthly things only, disregarding spiritual realities. In other words, it tries to devalue what we've been given in the spiritual realm. And certainly culture today tries to devalue spiritual realities. Even as simple as, oh, you go to church on Sunday? What a waste of time for you. You really get anything out of that? What a waste. What a waste of time. You could be doing so much. Sleep in. Do something better, right? Tries to devalue. Now, here's the problem with that. And I think these giants are in some ways linked together. You know, the first giant was Hittite. Fear. And what the scripture teaches us, fear is a spiritual reality. Fear is a spirit. And so when we try to deal with the problem, spiritual problem, in a natural method, it often fails. I'm not saying we can't, natural methods don't work, but I'm saying they often fail. For example, I heard this week on CBC Radio, so it's not a Christian organization, so these statistics I'm about to share aren't from some Christian think tank. This is from the CBC. How many know what I'm talking about? And they shared, you know, they've done a study. Cannabis has been legalized now for a while in Canada. They wanted to see the effects. And they found that, you know, cannabis, well, many people might take it to relieve anxiety and fear. CBC said this through their own study, that it actually makes the anxiety and fear worse. I'm not here to criticize or condemn cannabis. That's not my point, okay? But I am here to say we try to deal with spiritual things in a natural way, and they don't seem to work. In fact, they often make it worse because these are spiritual realities. And so the Girgashite comes to us and tries to devalue these realities to keep us from dealing in the realm where victory has already been given to us. We've been given a spirit of fear, but by devaluing spiritual realities, we don't even... I got a spirit of power. What's he talking about? I mean, what's that, right? It's just that doesn't relate to my life today in 2023. How many know? Devaluing spiritual realities. In fact, even in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talked that way. We already read it, but I'll read verse 6 once more. Verse 6, remember, he's talking about the spirit of power, but the verse before that, he says, remember this, kindle afresh the gift that God has put in you through the laying on of my hands. That's a spiritual reality. How many know? That's a spiritual reality. I don't know. You know, the devaluing, that's everywhere. Oh, what's the importance of prayer and meditation? Does it really make a difference in my life? Yeah. I know Psalm chapter 1 says meditate in the word, and you know, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you'll prosper in your season. But yeah, but does that really work in 2023? That's Girgashite. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? Devaluing spiritual realities. Yeah, I know the scripture says those who are planted in the house of God, they'll flourish, but really, does it really, I mean, I got so many other things to do. Does it really matter that I do engage in corporate worship? And it's trying to draw our attention away from Jesus, and in so doing, it makes us easy prey for the Hittites, for fear, because our answer is found in Christ Jesus and in understanding these spiritual realities. And sadly, sometimes the natural mind just doesn't get it. How many know that? I'm not saying we check our minds at the door, but sometimes the natural mind doesn't get it. And that's why sometimes believers are unable to overcome the spirit of fear because we become disconnected from who we are in Christ. I'm not seeing it anymore. I've devalued it. Healing? Oh, come on. Jesus doesn't heal anymore, right? You know, Edmund's a great story. I'm going to have him share it one story, but you know, one Sunday. But, you know, he could have had that attitude, you know, on Thanksgiving Sunday. You know, he was here, and he told me this week, and I'll have you share it again sometime, but just for sake of time, I'm just going to share it for you. Is that okay, Edmund? Just wave here. He's a real person here. Stand and wave, Edmund. I'm talking about someone real here, all right? So, all right. You know, on Thanksgiving Sunday, he was here. He told me just this week, he said, I had a tumor in my throat, and it was a healing rally that Sunday. Pastor Peter had a word of knowledge. You know, some people today say word of knowledge is, what are those? That's just the preacher being, you know, whatever, you know, just downplaying spiritual realities. But anyhow, he was here, and Pastor Peter called out, you know, that God's healing someone with a tumor. And Edmund didn't feel any change at the time, so he didn't come forward and testify. I'm not, that's it's their own words, right? The story's awesome, so stay with me. He said, I didn't go forward. And then he said, you know, the week after Thanksgiving Sunday, after that word of knowledge, yeah, that things got very bad, in fact, for him. In fact, last Saturday night, not this Saturday, the previous Saturday, he texted me and said, I'm in an emergency. I can't barely breathe and I can't swallow. I'm in emergency now. And I didn't know everything, the full nature of the story at that time. I just know, you know, Edmund's a dear leader here. He can't swallow and can't breathe. How many know that's bad enough, right? I didn't know about the tumor. And now, so he told me how that Saturday night, this is a week ago, that he felt the Lord Jesus speak to him in his heart. Speak to him and said, I want you to lay hands on your throat where that tumor is, and I want you to pray in tongues. I want you to just pray in tongues. And so he said he did that for 5 hours straight. Yeah, 5 hours. And he said, you know, so he had been admitted to the hospital on Saturday. The surgeon said, we got to do emergency surgery. He was lined up for surgery Sunday at noon. Sunday at noon, so after this encounter with Jesus speaking to him, Sunday at noon, the surgeon came in and put that little thing down his throat. He said it was rather painful, but or down your nose to look at that tumor. Again, it's in the throat. There were two of them, and they were getting big. And they put it down, and am I right, Edmund? They said, it's gone. Where did it go? What are you here for? Why are you here? Am I right? I'm right. Okay. But you see, what if he had this mindset, words of knowledge, healing, that's not for today. That's just for people who are gullible, easily misled, you know. We're in a scientific world today, you know, things. And I'm not saying science is bad. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying there's a spiritual reality. Amen? And there are certain answers that we need in life that come from that spiritual realm. Amen? And they have been given to us in Christ. This is our promised land, that in Christ we have been set free. We've been brought into the abundant life where the devil's been defeated, where sin's power has been broken, where we have been given gifts. Amen? So, we only got the two giants today. Thank God there's more Sundays, and we'll get to the other five. How about that? But I was once told, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. So I hope you invite me back next Sunday. We have five more giants to go, but I think that's good enough for today. I'll just leave those. How many know? I got them ready here, but a good preacher knows when to just let the text lie and let the Holy Spirit come and just administer His grace. Amen? And so there is an exhortation to us today as modern believers. And yes, I know the statistics that even evangelical believers like us are starting to just leave our roots and just go into modern thinking that disregards spiritual realities. But my friend, we are a spiritual entity. Amen. And we believe that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that things can, even the most impossible situations, can be turned around through Christ Jesus. That all things are possible through Him. Amen. And that He can transform the most impossible situation. Amen. I don't really feel like ending preaching, but I know where we're at. So anyhow, the children's ministers are always grateful when we do that. So when we end on time, how about that? But I thank God we have the 1 o'clock service, and I'm grateful and I'm glad for next Sunday. Amen? Yeah. Say it with me. Say, show no mercy. And then own your freedom. I mean, possess it. Take ownership of it. Just hold on to that. Amen? Singers, musicians, come on up here. I'm going to pray two prayers. Why don't we stand together before I do that? But I feel, I have this confession we make at the very end of the service. I'm going to just put it at the front here because I think, it's part of just, why do we do this? We do it because we're taking ownership of what's been given to us. Amen? And we confess not to make something real. We confess because it's already done in Christ. Amen? So we make bold confessions. You say, what's the point of making these? Well, we believe and therefore we speak, the scripture says, right? It's a confession of faith. There's power in our words. Yeah? We don't believe that through our words we're changing everything. We believe that Christ Jesus has won the victory. We're just aligning our words with what He's done. And there's power in that. So let's do that. Go ahead and put up that confession. Are you ready? The benediction, but I'm front loading it here, and then we'll get to the other two prayers. I can do that, right? You ready for this? Not 2 Timothy, the one that says, the Lord has blessed us. How many know that you've been blessed in Christ Jesus? Yeah? And while they're finding it, let me just say, Hittite, he's not your friend. She's not your friend. Those terrorizing voices that say, you're not blessed, show them no mercy. Yeah? Show them no mercy. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Quote the scriptures. Do whatever you got to do. Stand on your head if you need to. I don't know what you want to do. The scripture says labor to enter rest. That's the only labor we got left to bring ourselves back. Oh yeah, Jesus is much bigger than my problem, yeah? And if Jesus becomes smaller, labor to get back to that rest. You ready for that? All right, let's just speak it together. Megan said it sounds better when we speak it together, right? Rather than me speak it. I'm always learning, always trying to do better. So let's say it together. You ready with it? Say it together. The Lord has blessed us and will keep us. The Lord has made His face to shine on us. The Lord is gracious to us. The Lord has turned His face towards us, and the Lord gives us peace. Come on, give Jesus a big shout. Amen. Singers and musicians, you're all up here and looking so beautiful. I got to pray something before we sing. Is that okay? Tsitsi says yes. All right. We've been talking today about the liberating freedom of life in Christ Jesus. That's how I started my message here today. and how Jesus came, yes, to give us forgiveness of sins, and that's huge, cleansing of our conscience. But he also came to give us new life, a life where we know God experientially, a life where we experience him. And I was touched, one of the water baptismal candidates or persons we baptized today, she talked about how when she received Christ Jesus, she felt, before that, she felt like she was in a dark hole of despair. But she said when she received Christ, it was like light came into her heart. And that's one way I would describe what happens when we put our trust in Jesus and receive his life and enter into his life. It's like the darkness in our heart that was so pervasive becomes eradicated by a flood of his light. Jesus is the light of the world, the scripture says. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray, and it'll be my honor to pray with you. Maybe you're here today, and all you know of church or religious backgrounds is just a list of, you know, things you can do to be a good Christian. And certainly, we live, I preached a whole sermon today about living fruitful lives. We're all for fruit. But that at its core is not what it means to be a Christian. At its core, being a Christian is receiving Jesus' life in our hearts, in our lives, entering into his life. It speaks of a new spiritual reality. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray. It would be my honor to pray with you. The scripture says, how do we receive that new life? We receive it, first of all, by admitting, first of all, by putting our trust in Jesus. Admitting, I can't do this on my own anymore. One of the ladies that was baptized earlier just said just that. I gave up. She said, I put all my trust in my own humanistic way of thinking, but I gave up. I realized I can't do it. I can't save myself, and I put my trust in Jesus. That's where it starts. The scripture calls that repentance. It talks about changing our mind towards, it calls it dead works, but that really just means trusting in myself to save myself. And we have to change our minds about that. Jesus is the one who saves. And then secondly, it's about acknowledging Jesus for who he is, that he is Lord and he is Savior. He is that. And so we confess that and we put our faith in that. And then thirdly, it's receiving. Receiving forgiveness, receiving his life. That's when the miracle happens in our hearts. Outwardly, you look the same, but inwardly, there's a transformation. Light begins to replace darkness. Healing begins to replace hurt. These are the effects of new life in Christ Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is a moment, I believe, when eternity touches the human heart. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to every heart here this morning, drawing by your love. Heads bowed and eyes closed. All those who say, yes, Nathan, I want to be included when you pray. I want to know God. I don't just want to know about him. I want to experience him. I want to experience new life. I want to his light. I want a new heart. You say, that's me here today. Just raise up your hand so I know who I'm praying with here in a moment. Hands going up. Yes. Yes, in the back. Yes, over here. Yes, beautiful. Anybody else? Hands up. Yes. Anybody else? Say, yes, Nathan. Include me when you pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, I thank you. You can put your hands down. Can we all pray with those who have raised their hands here today? Can we do that all together? I'll pray. Those of you who raise your hands, you join with me. But let's everybody pray together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I admit I can't save myself. So I put my trust in you. Jesus, I acknowledge you are Lord and you are Savior. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give Jesus a big hand clap of appreciation here this morning? Dawit, there we go. Give me one of these bags. I have an invitation for you. Those of you who raised your hands and we prayed with, I have a couple of invitations. First of all, I'll just get this out of the way. When we dismiss, there'll be a team here at the front. Dawit is the leader. And they'll have this blue bag in their hands. They'll be right here at the front. So you'll know who they are. There's some information there, some books, some salvation God's gift to you. It's a book we've given to people all around the world. We'd love to give it to you today. And I encourage you to come and get that book. They won't take you too long, but come and get that book. Because we believe that what you've received in Christ Jesus is really so amazing that I believe that we will spend the rest of eternity discovering the amazing realities. But here's my invitation to you, not just to come and get this bag. Why not next Sunday, come back and continue to learn more about who Jesus is and who you are in him and this gift of salvation that you've received. And the scripture says you'll grow in that and you'll begin to experience more and more of his love and his life. I may have experienced that yourself. You say, I'm born again, and that's been my experience. So I encourage you to come on out even the next Sunday. I used to say it this way, and maybe I should say it again. You know, make a commitment to come for a year. You know, I know if you're sick, you say, well, I got to stay home. But otherwise, make a commitment to come every Sunday for a year and see, you know, that God's love and His grace will transform your life. I've experienced that, and so many people here in this room have experienced. So that's my invitation to you here today. Can we give those who have raised their hands a big hand clap of invitation here? Amen. Last prayer. I said two prayers. Here we go. Last prayer. You know, I again, reminded of Edmund, and that what a great testimony. What a great testimony. You know, he reminded me. In fact, he was saved watching Pastor Peter in 1986, so you've been around a long time. So it even worked. You know, it's not just, this isn't just for brand new people to the church. This is for people who've been around since a while. Yeah. But how many know that part of the package of salvation, part of the package of what Jesus gives us is healing for our bodies? Amen? And so here at Celebration Church, we don't minimize spiritual realities, i.e. the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I was talking to somebody, I'm not going to pray for baptism of the Spirit, speaking in tongues right now, although we do that. But I talked to someone a leader in our church this week, and she said, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church and never once heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. She said, I came here and you guys were preaching it almost from week one. So I guess we got to get back to that again, do it again. But how many know, spiritual realities, we embrace them. Amen? And one of those realities is healing through Christ Jesus, words of knowledge, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what God would do for Edmund, He'll do for us all, because He loves Edmund, but He loves us all equally. Amen? Let's just pray. Father, I thank You right now for this spiritual gift that You've given to us, words of knowledge, the workings of miracles, Jesus. And I thank You that they are active and present in this room right now. Holy Spirit, I thank You. Jesus, I thank You that You are living water. And that You sent Your word and You said, it will not return unto Me void. So today I thank You that the word of healing is present. The word of healing is touching bodies in this room where there was sickness. I thank You, Father, that how the word of healing is transforming that sickness now, and that health comes in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You now for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For that person who's had that inner ear ringing, be healed. Receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Just reach out and take that now. Check out that ear. Hear the ringing go in Jesus' name. For that person, I spoke about evil spirits earlier, opening and closing doors. Maybe that's been something that's been in your life. Put an end to it now. Show that devil no mercy. Put an end to it. Put your foot down. He is defeated in Jesus' name. The Lord is speaking that to you now. You don't have to put up with that in Jesus' name. Jesus, I thank You right now for that person who had the neck injury. Healing now. Begin to move your neck now in Jesus' name. The vertebrae and how it's been affected in Jesus' name. Sciatica in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You. We speak to sickness and disease now in the authority of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus' name. Shikatarabako sante. Father, I thank You. Just take another 30 more seconds and just give Him thanks in your own words. Father, I thank You. But if you pray in tongues, you can do that too. Shikatarabako soka. You say, what are you doing? That's a heavenly language, by the way. That's all it is. Rebabakoro sante. Father, I thank You now. Rebabakoro bakasante. Father, I thank You now. Father, I thank You. Shilabako rebakasante rebakosante. Mababakoro vaka. In fact, I feel this challenge. You can put your hands down. This is a challenge I feel right now just to issue to each of us. You know, and I didn't preach on it today, and I didn't mean to go down this road, and I got to wrap this up. But, you know, praying in tongues is one of those spiritual gifts that actually opens up our mind to spiritual realities. It truly is. You know, sometimes our natural mind just doesn't get it. And as hard as we try to fight our natural mind, we have a hard time, you know, seeing. The gift of tongues is something that activates that gift. Take 5 minutes every Monday this week. Would you do that? Just five. You say, now if you get carried away, and you might get carried away and go even longer. But take at least 5 minutes every morning. Pray in tongues. Yeah? I mean, the beautiful gift, and if you're new to this church and you don't know, I could teach many sermons on the gift of tongues to explain. I grew up in a church where it was devil's language, so I know I'm stepping on, you know, sensitive territory. I get that. But I'm just saying, you know, many of you have been baptized in the Spirit. You know, even on the bus. How many know? You know, I can be on the bus and just, I'm praying. You don't even know I'm praying. What a great gift. Amen. Activate those spiritual eyesights, because this spirit of fear, I mean, it's trying to derail us. But how many know we've been given a new spirit? And Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, he's talking about the laying on of hands. In fact, I believe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's a whole other sermon for a whole other day. I'm opening up too many cans of worms, right? See? But anyhow, how many know that pray in that heavenly language? You say, I don't have that gift, Nathan. Well, come on back another Sunday. I feel that we got to get that another. We got to keep preaching that. And we will, you know, by the way, it's just one tool in the tool bag. So I'm not, you know, that's why we don't preach it every Sunday, because there's so many great tools in the tool bag, right? But how many, it is a valuable gift, and we won't shy away from it. Amen? All right, well, we've already made our bold declaration of benediction, so we won't do that again. But our singers are here. Salvation team, if you would come, I encourage you, those of you who prayed, to come and get this bag. Also, our prayer team here, led by Joan Lloyd, they'll be here. If you need prayer in any of your life, they'll lay hands on you, connect with you, pray with you as well today. We're honored to have you. Remember that we have our celebration of life at 3:30 today. We have our 1 o'clock service. Let Jesus wash your feet. It's going to be beautiful. So come for that as well. A lot of great Cafe Andrews happening between the two services. So I'm just going to close with a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your grace today. I thank you, Father, for this spiritual reality that we live in, that we can live in victory over fear. And I thank you this week that individuals in this room reconnect in a new way with that spiritual reality that they've been brought into in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the grace and faith to show no mercy to these enemies and these lies that try to minimize Jesus. But Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are making Jesus bigger and bigger in our estimation, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.
For more information about Toronto Celebration Church, please visit our website at TICC.ca.